Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
My friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
graves
of memory,
oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word. We're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and a greater and deeper understanding of this, your word. To help us, Father, to strengthen our faith and to be able to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, living our lives according to this word, Father, and your will and your way. Help us to reach out to help others, that we can all, Father, work in this harvest field, because we know that the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. And Father, seems like each and every day we're seeing more things that need to be straightened up, because we know time is growing short for us, Father, before the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming for his church. But you know, Father, we don't know when he'll be coming for us, whether we'll be here when he comes for the church or whether he'll come for us before. To help us to be that born-again child of God, that one that has salvation and eternal life in heaven. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Going to be dealing with you or talking with you from verses of chapter 19. And we'll probably be going on into chapter 20 of the book of Acts. I'm planning, if the Lord don't change it, which he probably will from time to time, but what I want to do is to once again take this ministry through the New Testament. From Acts to the book of Revelation. And you know me, I don't teach Revelation. Because really, we can't teach it. I'll read it. And we're going to be working about setting up a time to be reading Revelations. Because you see, we are told at the beginning of Revelations to read it to the church. And at the end of Revelations, we are told not to add one word to it. And if we do, he tells us about the plagues then being added to us. And we're not to take one word away from it. And if we do, then our name will be taken from the book of life. So I don't try to teach it. All of them that wants to teach, that's between them and their God. Because when you go to teaching anything, you're going to be adding words and taking some words out of it. That's just the way things are. Because as you read a scripture, and God will reveal something to you about that verse, you automatically share that. And if it's adding to it or taken away, that ain't going to work. And you know, we need to be committed unto God. And to be committed means that we hold nothing back. Our family, our home, our work, our finances. We don't hold none of that from him. He is first in our lives. And unless he is, you're not going to make heaven your home. And all these preachers, they won't tell you, oh, well, you can do this and you can do that. You can do things your way. They're on their way to hell and they're taking the congregation with them if they continue to follow him. Because you can get on television, and I do, because I want to know also what is going on in our church world today. You don't hear a lot of teaching of God's word out of none of these pastors. They'll use a verse or two, but they're talking and telling you some kind of story. And most of the story will be about themselves or about somebody they know. That's not things we need. What we need is the word of God, what it says, what the meaning is. And then that lets us walk with him. That's why we're not to care about whether people like us or not. We are to love all men. We don't have to love the sin they do, but we got to love the sinner. And we need to pray for them. But today, we also need to be reaching those that are trying to reach out to find out about God. We need to be reaching them first of all, to give them greater strength, stronger faith, and a better way of life. This morning, we had made it through the 23rd verse. So I'm going to be picking up here with verse 24 in chapter 19. Like I say, we'll probably be getting into chapter 20 also tonight. But we're seeing a lot of things here that kind of compares the things we see around us. 24 says, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. But this Diana was a goddess that man had made up. Her temple was huge. And this man here, Demetrius, he made gods of her. And he don't like Paul at all, but we'll be getting into that in a minute. But you see, the priest and all that worked in this temple of Diana and the women that was there in the temple all were part of prostitution. Now here this man, he makes his wealth by making these hand images that they look to as being their God. Now, 25 says, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupations and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Now, he's not satisfied with stirring things up just by himself. He's calling all these men that's making these false gods and things that makes their living by them. He's calling them all together. In 26, moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. You see? And he's right. And that's what Paul was doing. Because there is no God made with hands that is real. There's only one God. That's the great I Am. Yahweh, the first and the last. The Father that sent Jesus into the world to make a way for you and I to have eternal life in heaven with him. He made the way. Now, it's up to you and I and how we are going to live our lives in accordance with this word, whether we make heaven our home or not. Because you see, we can choose. We can choose to go to hell, which is what most are doing today. Because they want to do things their way. Not like the word tells them, but their way. When the word tells you not to do something, then don't do it. Because God had a reason for that. And if he tells you to do it, then do it. Because there's also a reason for that. Because it is in doing what God wants of you that will bring blessings upon you. And when you walk close enough with God, doing what he asks of you to do, being his child, he tells you he'll pour out blessings on you that you don't even have room enough to hold. Think about that. So really, what more could we ask for? But we do. And we do so because of pride and selfishness. Well, I want this. The world's got this, and I want one. I know somebody that's got one, and I want one just like his, or I want one a little better. We see that's wrong right there. Because that's what the scripture calls lust. We're not to lust after things that our neighbors or our people we know have gotten. We'll be getting into all of this as we go through this New Testament. There has been so many changes within mankind since the beginning of time. Now, God does not change. God himself changes not. He tells us that. But he has made changes for you and I. Because he put the first couple in the Garden of Eden, only forbid one thing from them. They had everything they needed in that garden, and they were only forbid one thing. And he told them, if you partake of that tree, you will die. And that's really what brought death upon all of us. You see, Adam and Eve could have lived forever if they'd stay away from that tree. That's all I had to do. Stay away from that tree and commune with God, walk as he wanted them to walk, and they could have lived through eternity. But she let Satan get into that snake and tempt her. And she'd done the very thing that God told her not to do, then turned around and gave it to her husband. Or gave it to her mate, because at that time, he wasn't really her husband. But he was her mate. Now, that brought death upon all of us. And yet mankind didn't really know what was right and what was wrong, what God wanted him to do or didn't do. So from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden until Moses, all those years in between, God wasn't holding man's sins against him to the extent of his sins keeping him out of heaven. He dealt with him more or less one-on-one at the time. And we know that in the beginning of mankind, man lived to be many hundreds of years old. When you were 400 or 500 years old, you still practically a kid. The way we figure today, a teenager. There were several that lived into their 900 years, because we know Methuselah was the oldest. But thing about that is us walking daily every day of our lives with the Lord God. And we don't need to be taking anything out of this world to become an idol. And when you put something between you and God, that's what you've done. You've made an idol out of it. It don't matter what it is. But you make an idol out of it. All right, now. He tells us in 27, he says, so then not only our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. They're really getting upset against Paul. But Paul tells them, No. You've got to have Jesus. Here's verse 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They're angry. But they're crying out for Diana. And it's all because they know that if more people go Paul's way, they're going to be losing money. Because they're not going to be able to make all these handmade gods. Now, 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. You see, when you've got anything going on that is contrary one to the other, it causes confusion. And this is what has happened in our church world. They built all these walls that they call denominations. The Baptists don't believe like the Methodists. The Methodists don't believe like the Baptists. Neither one of them believe like the Pentecostal. The Pentecostals don't believe like the Church of God. None of them believe like the Catholic. They don't believe like the Presbyterian. All because of confusion. Why should there be any confusion? It's because they did build walls. And you see, there is only one church. One church that's going to get you into heaven. And that's his church. His church goes by many names, but they're not walls. You see, that's why these churches, they wasn't named Baptist and Presbyterian and all of this and made denominations. They carried the name of the place where it's set. I would just let people know where it was. Because they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have here when we hold in our hand, when we hold the Holy Bible. We have got the Word of God, and you are holding in your hand life and death. In your body is also life and death. You say, well, now, where's that at in my body? It's on your tongue. It's what you speak. What you say, because what you speak comes from the heart, and the things you speak that is contrary to the Word of God will cause death. It'll cause sickness. It'll cause disease. It'll cause many things. See, growing up, give you an example here that I know everybody can relate to. But in growing up, summer, nice weather, all kids all out playing and everything. Start into the fall and things started changing. Mom, Dad, back when I was young, started giving you a dose of castor oil to clean you out every now and then. You could be going along and get cold on you. And you could say, you know, this keeps up, I'm going to have a cold. What happened? You'd have that cold because you said you was going to. Now, you didn't realize that, but that's exactly what you proclaim for yourself is what is going to eventually come upon you. And the closer you walk with God, the more that becomes a reality. That's why he said you can speak to that mountain. Tell it to move and be cast into the sea. And that your faith, if you can do it without believing, without any doubt, it'll be done. We all have mountains. He tells us to speak to it. Get ready. He says, what you bind on earth. He's talking about you, Brother James. He's talking about you, Kenny. You, Dennis. Myself. And any other born-again child of God. Whatever you say. Say believing, and I'll do it. We ask it in Jesus' name. We ask the Father in Jesus' name. Because that's who we're told to pray to. You and I are told to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. He says, if you do that, I'll hear from heaven, and I will give you your wishes. He lets you know that you need to speak. He says, you have not because you asked not. And we're told several places, ask and you shall receive. That's the way we accept things that has been given to us. Everything you and I need in our lives has already been given. We just have to learn how to accept it. Now, come on down here now to 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Artatius, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. They didn't want him going in. And a certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent it to him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. See, Paul's time is growing short. But there is such an uproar that they're afraid that he's going to be hurt if he goes into this place. And that's why they're asking him not to go. 32. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. There's that confusion again. And like I said, I spent 4 months at a church teaching. I was teaching the word, as I'm doing now. But then on Sunday morning, there was one coming in who was teaching a lot of things contrary to what I was teaching. That was beginning to lead and cause confusion. So I left. Because we're told not to cause confusion. Now, we're going to cause it out here in the world. Because the world does it. If we stay with the truth of God's word, then we're not the one causing the confusion. It's those that are non-believers. It's causing the confusion. Now, Verse 33. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You see, they knew Paul was a Jew. Now here they know that Alexander is a Jew. So they're using the same thing against him. Because, and it's all because of greed. Because the more people that is going to follow them and turn to Jesus, the less of these idols they're going to be making. Now, 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how what the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Juniper?" Now, see, here's this town clerk now trying to join in with these that's against following them. And he's letting them know. You all should know. We all worship here in this place the great goddess Diana. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. He's telling them, you need to be quiet and do nothing rash. "For ye have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of churches nor of blasphemers of your goddess." He said, they're not bothering your churches. And they're not even speaking really against your goddess. And he's trying to get things calmed down because of an uproar. Back then, uproars could cause everyone a lot of trouble. 38. "Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them impede one another." Let them take each other to court. But let's quit this uproar. That's basically what he's being said here. He called it impede. 39. "But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly." All this that they're in an uproar about, let them work that out. Now, if it's something else, then it can be determined in a lawful assembly. So he goes on to tell them and warn them, for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar. There being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. He said, we can be called into question. The authorities can get a hold of us, call us into question, because there's really no cause for this uproar. And this next little short verse brings us to an end of chapter 17, or 19 of it. And that's 41. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now he's dismissing them all. We're going to get into 20, because 20's picking right up where he's leaving off here. And it says, verse 1 here in 20, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And number 2, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. Now we see some of Paul's traveling right here in the beginning of this, where he's taking some of his men and he's going to different places, Macedonia and on into Greece and all of that. Now, verse 3, and there abode 3 months. They lived there in Greece 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return to Macedonia. He found out they were laying in wait for him, so he's going to take a different route. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, as this is Star, and Secunda, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before carried for us at Troas. Paul's made it to Troas now. We found who has made part of this journey with him and who will be going on with him. And in verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now you see, this is another thing. And this is a thing that most, in fact, I don't know of maybe 2 churches that claim this here in the United States, that claim to do it, that actually really honor these Jewish holidays. But we should. Our Christian roots are from the Jews. And just as they honor them, because you see, when you become that born-again child of God, you have been engrafted into Judaism. You've been engrafted. You've become a Jew. That's according to the Word of God. That's another thing a lot of people today don't want to hear. But it's God's Word. Now, verse They came into Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So we stayed there in Philippi 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. We can't sit in church an hour without hollering about it. And we don't know what time this started. It started sometime during the day, but we don't know. It didn't say what time. It just said it's on the first day of the week. Now, he's preached until midnight. So forth. Eight. And there were many lights in the upper chambers where they were gathered together. Got the lights and everything on. Verse 9 says, there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Three stories up, he had fell, where he went to sleep. He was sitting in a window. He was taken up dead. 10. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he had therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. They had met all night. How many nights do you think we could get people to meet? And yet they talk about being children of God. And they, if you hold most places an hour, when you're done, you're going to hear about it before you get out of there. I know, because when I was going around as an evangelist, I was only give 20, 25 minutes at the longest, because then people wasn't going to stay. And this is why the church has kept falling and falling and falling to where today most of the churches you go to, they're nothing of God. Oh, yes, they'll use the name Jesus. They'll speak it, but they won't live it. And they even speak things contrary to the word. Now, here, he started preaching during the day, and he's preached all night till the break of day. And then he departed. They brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. He was kind of amazed that this young man wasn't dead, because he'd been took up dead. Paul was falling on him and praying his life back in him. And 13. And we went before the ship and sailed unto Azotus, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. He's going to walk it. And when he met with us at Azotus, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chos. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Telegama. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. He determined, even in his traveling, to make it to Jerusalem, to the church. Because that was kind of considered the main church of that day and time. There in Jerusalem. Determined that he wants to be there. In 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now he's calling them Scripture's calling them elders here. Today we call them deacons in most of the churches. Now the Presbyterian church, they still call your deacon elders. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. He says, you know me. You know how I've been. You know what I've taught. You know how I live. That's exactly what he's meaning there. He goes on here in 19, and he tells them, he said, I have been serving the Lord with all my humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. We know about the group of Jews that followed him, trying to tear down everything he done to get them back under the law, which the death of Jesus had brought to fulfillment. He said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have told you publicly and from house to house. He said, I have spent time with you. Well, you know me. You know all about me. You know what kind of man I am. You know that I am a man of God. That's basically what he's saying here. Now, he's taught them in their churches. He's taught publicly and he's taught from house to house. 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling them exactly what he preaches. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He said, I'm going into Jerusalem, but I don't know what's going to happen to me there. I've been through all of these other things. Paul's been beaten, been stoned, he's been jailed. He was stoned and left outside the city. They thought he was dead. And they left him. He just wasn't. Paul's ministry cost him a lot of pain. So who are we? Now, he's talking about being bound in the Spirit. 23. And he didn't know what things would be falling there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. The Holy Spirit has been telling Paul in these last cities he's been going through what is waiting for him in Jerusalem. Bound again. Bonds and afflictions. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He said, this don't bother me, because I don't count my life as being so dear to me anyway. But Paul's the one that also told us that he'd rather be absent and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd rather die born to be with Jesus. But he said it was important that he still be here. Now, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. He says, I got to finish what Jesus has given me, and I'll do it with joy. No matter what's coming up on me, I'm going to do it with joy. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. And today they're afraid to open their mouth and stand and speak the truth of God's word in the church because they're afraid somebody is going to laugh at them or mock them, ridicule them, or tell them they're liars. But that's why Jesus said, be bold. Stand boldly. Speak boldly. We're told that. And that's why I won't change. You know, I've told all of you, I'm not going to walk around no subject. I'm not going to walk around no one. And just as I was telling them about closing my church doors, when they told all the churches they had to close, I said, no. Well, you can be fined or jailed. Well, go ahead and fine me. And then you can jail me because I ain't going to pay the fine either. Because you ain't got the right to do it. And I'm going to follow what God tells me to do, not what man tells me. Now, I'll follow man's law as long as it's not against the law of God. But if it's against his law, no. I'm not going there. And that I mean sincerely. And everybody that knows me knows that. Now, because they also, they can tell you, I'm not afraid to give you the truth of the gospel of Almighty God. Now, 25. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He said, you're going to see my face no more. Paul knows he's coming to the end of his race. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all man. He said, I'm pure from it because I have told them the truth of the gospel. So my hands are clean. Their choice can take them to hell, but it's not because I have not gave them the truth. 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He said, I'm sharing with you the counsel of Almighty God. He said, I've not shunned to do it. Therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And we're going to stop there again and pick up there, God willing, maybe Thursday night, and go on. We only got a few more verses, so I'm not going to sit here and go through and hold you too much over time. Because the Spirit's not leading me to do it. The Spirit leads me to do it, I would. The Spirit's not leading me. He's letting me stop there and we can pick up with that and go on and get on in to chapter 21. But we are finding so much in this book of Acts. We found out about baptism, why you are to be baptized in Jesus' name, why that all came about, and all, and the difference that man is preaching today than what he should be preaching. We've seen a lot of it so far, and we're going to see more of it before we get to the end of the book of Acts. This book of Acts has given us a whole lot that the churches today will not give to you or even share with you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a time that we can come together, Father, to study your word and to share our love one with the other and for the other, so that we can grow, Father, grow in number, as well as grow in knowledge and wisdom, so that we can reach out to the communities in which we live and where our ministry is, Father, to help those that are in need spiritually and physically. Father, we thank you for the gifts that the Holy Spirit has brought into the church. And we are told, Father, what you put into the churches, that you put apostles and prophets and teachers, the ministers, the elders, miracles, healings, and all manner of things. You tell us there in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter about all of it. Father, we thank you for it. We have seen some healings, Father, in this ministry. We know it's real. And Father, we know that your word is real. Your word is true. Your word is life and it's death. Help us, Father, to walk deep into your word, covered by the blood of Jesus, filled with your love and our love for you. And Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we know that they are in a lot of different places. A lot of them facing death for believing in you. But we pray that the Holy Spirit keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. Because, Father, we know that right now they're not having any peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for all of Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, a land that had no reason whatsoever for turning its back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him out of everywhere he was in, taking his name away from our military chaplains so it would not even be used in prayer. Father, may your people May you're born again, children of God. All come together and come this election time, Father. Remove from office all these people that are standing against the church, against Jesus, against you. And let us replace them with ones that will work for you and for the Lord and for the church. And work with us to help us to put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for those on our prayer list in this ministry, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Brother James Taylor, Brother Bobby, Sister Millie, Sue, David Branson, myself, Father, all of our families, our brothers, sisters, cousins, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Father, may the Spirit work with those that are not living the right kind of life. Turn them around. Enlighten them and let them know that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And let them go to Him and repent, Father. And may they find a church that will preach the truth to help guide them into eternity the right way, so that they too can all make heaven their home and none be lost. Be with this ministry, Father. This is yours. You sent me here as an overseer. And Father, we are in need of a place to work from. It's in your hands now, Father. Our faith is in you. Put us wherever you want us. Use us according to your will and your way. We ask all of this, Father. All of this. In Jesus' name. And Father, keep us all safe through this week. Bring us together again at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evening, and back into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless.